O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight. For you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In the classic novel, The Hobbit, the monster Gollum asks Bilbo Baggins a riddle. This thing devours all things, birds and beasts, gnaws on metal, bites at steel, grinds hard stones for its meal. It slays kings, ruins towns, and beats hard mountains down. What is it? The answer, of course, is time. Time is a funny thing. We never seem to have enough of it, and we're always running out of it. And since we can't create more time, we're always trying to save the little bit of time that we have. Do you find the concept of time fascinating? I do. Archaeologists and historians tell us that some ancient civilizations were able to construct almost perfect calendars, some of them just a few days off, despite not having the technology to measure the Earth's rotation around the sun that we have. A calendar that did not account for that rotation being 365 1/4 days might not seem like much of an error. But missing just that 1/4 of a day, in a century, a calendar would almost be a month off. And in 6 centuries, December 25th would really be June 25th. That would be really confusing weatherwise. When calendars were corrected in the past, sometimes it would be necessary to skip a few days, sometimes a few months. In one instance, there were riots because people believed that they were being cheated out of several days of their lifespan. We are also told that our ancient ancestors had a more leisurely life than we do. Their workday was tied to the rising and setting of the sun, with time off in the middle of the day for a big meal, rest, maybe even a nap. Before the invention of the electric light, people averaged 9 hours of sleep a night. Today, we average 7, and people in highly populated urban areas often only average 6 hours of sleep a night. The rise of monasticism, monks and nuns living in cloistered communities saying prayers at 7 set times of the day, including odd hours of the night, coincided with the invention of clocks. When I was in elementary school, lunchtime was 11:30, and I got home at 3 o'clock every day and had a snack. Even now, I get hungry every day at 11:30 and 3 o'clock. Classic rock aficionados like me might recall a trumpet-playing band that started recording about 55 years ago called the Chicago Transit Authority. Later, their name was just shortened to Chicago. They had a song that was called, "Does Anybody Really Know What Time It Is?" As a younger person, those lyrics put time in perspective for me. One verse went something like, "As I was walking down the street one day, being pushed and shoved by people trying to beat the clock, I don't know. So I said, does anybody really know what time it is? Does anybody really care about time? If so, I can't imagine why. We've all got time enough to die." Time is on our minds today because today is the first Sunday of Advent, the beginning of a new church year. So, Happy New Year. Advent is our season of preparation for celebrating Christmas, the Nativity of our Lord. But Advent is a lot more than just a reminder to start baking cookies and buying presents. In Advent, we prepare for Christ's return to earth at the end of time as we know it. The Bible doesn't say that we have to observe Advent. The word Advent doesn't ever occur in Scripture. And our Lutheran confessions say that the ceremonies of men need not be uniform in all places. Yet thinking about time and observing Advent can be important for us, for the formation of our faith and our understanding of God. We know that God is infinite and eternal. God created time. He is not ravaged by time as we are. He is above and outside of time. Yet God acts through our human history. We see that in the Old and New Testaments. He reveals himself to us in time. God is ultimately concerned about our current affairs. He leads and guides us through our span of time. God acted at particular moments in history to rescue us in the nick of time and make us his people forever, such as in the Exodus and especially the resurrection. I confess that I have a hard time wrapping my mind around concepts like infinite and eternal. I've read some books about time to try to get a better understanding of it. One was Stephen Hawking's A Brief History of Time, and another was called Black Holes, Warp Space-Time, and Beyond. Honestly, those books were over my head. I even tried Advanced Physics and Einstein's Theory of Relativity for Dummies, and I could only understand that a little bit. Maybe I just don't have the mental hardware and software to understand things like time and eternity. And maybe I'm not alone in that. Human beings aren't completely capable of understanding the mind of God. Our best theories in physics are only slightly educated guesses. But there are a few things that we can latch onto for sure. The Bible speaks of at least two different kinds of time. In the Greek, there is chronos, which refers to linear time, human time, time measured in seconds, minutes, hours, and days. Chronos is the root word of things like chronograph, which is an expensive name for a watch. Then there is time in the spiritual dimension, God's time. We call it kairos. Kairos means the right time, the proper time. The Bible tells us that in the fullness of time, God sent his only begotten Son. Kairos is the decisive time, the moment of truth, we might say. Jesus has been called the man who split history. Traditionally, years were designated as B.C. or A.D., B.C. meaning before Christ. A.D. does not mean after death, as I was wrongly taught as a child. A.D. is an abbreviation of the Latin Anno Domini, meaning the year of our Lord. After all, Jesus our Lord is not dead. He died, but he rose again. The ultimate kairos moment. With that in mind, there is another way that Jesus split history, a religious, spiritual, biblical way. All that came before Christ's birth was prelude. Everything from creation to the ministry of John the Baptist was prologue to Jesus' coming. The Old Testament and John set the stage for Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Jesus' earthly ministry was a unique time. God walked among us as a man. And that will happen again because Jesus is coming again. But when Jesus comes to earth this time, it'll be different. He will come in glory and power. He will come never to leave us again. Christ will reign when the sun rises and sets no more, and he will save us from the tyranny of the clock and the ravages of time. Christ's second coming is a good thing and not to be feared by us. The end time calamities that are predicted in Mark's gospel to precede the coming of Christ stop when he returns. We also need not fear Christ's judgment. For baptized believers, judgment is in effect a past event for us. We have already been pardoned, and we look forward to a new world without war or disease or death or natural disasters. Then it will be all peace and wellness for us. The feast we share here of our Lord's body and blood are tokens of the promised feast that we will share in God's kingdom when Jesus comes again. So what are we to do in this time in between Jesus' first and second comings? How do we prepare for Christmas during Advent? How do we make the best use of our time? For one thing, we pray. God invites us to bring all of our needs to Him. When we don't know what to say to God, we can always just ask the Lord to have mercy on me and to come back quickly. Another thing we can do is work to spread the gospel. We want to tell others about Christ and what He has done for us and invite them to worship so that they can be ready for Christ's glorious appearing as we are. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.